feel the Spirit of the Lord. The greatest thing that ever happened to us is when we got saved.
Amen.
I beg you that if you don't ever see Debbie Sue and I again, I want one thing to get in your heart. Never get over being saved.
That's right.
Never get over being born again. Had it not been for Calvary. Now that's what I want to do. On a count of three, I want you to do something for me. We're going to sing that praise God again in just a second. And I want you to come unscrew. But when I count to three, I want you to yell the day of your salvation. Now mine was October 3rd, 1965. Now if you don't remember your day, that's all right. I want you to holler John 3:16.
Amen.
Now, you don't go to hell for not remembering the day. I remember the day that I got saved. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. I can't sing either. Did you notice that? But when I count to three, if you know the date, I want you to holler. And if you don't know the date, say, John 3:16. And then we're going to praise God again. And I want you to sing it this time louder than you sang it before. Because there's a lot of folks counting on their own righteousness. But we have none except because of Jesus. One, two, three.
John 3:16.
Amen. Praise God. Let's sing it again. Help me, brother.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise
God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen. Do I have an amen in the house?
Amen.
Woo! Glory, thank you so much. Man, I tell you what, you play beautifully. Man, God bless you. Thank you so much. Man, it is so good to be with y'all. Oh, anniversaries and birthday. Brother Jimmy, come on. No, come on up here. That's all right. We need to do that.
Our anniversary. If Scott didn't remind me, I'd give you the But you don't ever forget it. I always forget it, bro.
Take your time, Brother Jimmy.
I ain't as smart as you.
You knew it out, did you,
bro? No anniversary? No birthday.
And if you don't have an anniversary and you want one and you want to be married, pick you somebody right now and we'll do the wedding right here. I mean, I could do that too, so just find you somebody and we'll do it, and then I'll preach the message. After that, just whatever you need us to do, we'll do it while we're here. Whatever y'all need, all right, we can do that. Boy, we had a good Sunday school. Now, if you're going to miss a service, you know, there's three. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. So if you're going to miss a service, it's this one I want you to miss now. So, but you're already here, aren't you? So I want you to be back tonight. If the Lord doesn't change my mind, I don't think I'm going to speak on tonight when we have service on Can You Handle the Truth? Now, don't that make you want to know what it's about?
Yes,
I'm going to speak tonight. No, I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to share. I'm going to preach.
Amen.
I'm going to preach on Can You Handle the Truth? I promise you, you're going to want to know everything about that message. It's something the Lord laid on my heart, and I think it will touch your heart, and you'll want to share it with others. And I'm not trying to just do a commercial at all. I'm just honestly want you to bring somebody with you. Can you handle the truth? But we had a good Sunday school. Brother Jimmy and Sister Debbie just treated us for all of y'all. Been so good. We ate good. I'm going to take one of them goats home in my truck. My mom is 83 years old. She just had eye surgery, so we've been doctoring her eyes. And so we called her last night to see if she's all right. And she said, bring me a goat because she loves animals. She ain't going to eat it. She just loves animals. Y'all are so precious. And years ago you came to my church, and so y'all been just so good. And I tell you, Debbie's got such a sweet prayer. As soon as we came, hugged our necks. And I know y'all praying about a pastor. I'm just going to go ahead and suggest I think y'all need to call Debbie to be y'all's pastor. No, but I'm just kidding. But y'all are so precious. What a beautiful church. I feel like the Lord met us during Sunday school. And so we're just going to have a little time of preaching right now, if that's all right. Let me tell you about me. I was, like I said a few minutes ago, when I was 9 years old, October 3rd, 1965, at Unity Baptist Church in Kimberly, on the last verse of Jesus Paid It All, I had what we called a fever blister, shaved haircut, and a flannel shirt. And I came down at 9 years old and asked Jesus to save me. I tell you that for this reason. I really wonder about a lot of these preachers that are preaching today if they've even been saved. I saw somebody the other day that they weren't sure that Jesus was the only way to heaven. That verified to me he wasn't saved. Because there is only one way, and that's Jesus. So I was saved, know that I'm saved, and I'll never forget it. And I'll tell you, let me just add this, because y'all are so easy to talk to, and this is going to shock you, that the Bible does teach when the Holy Spirit deals with you, you better obey. He may never deal with you again. The Bible says, there is by us a line unseen, a place I know not where, that marks the destiny of man from eternity to despair. And that's true. And I'll be honest with you, I never learned how to swim. Mama told me, you learn how to swim, but don't you get near the water. That's what she said. That doesn't work, you know, that just didn't work. And so the devil was saying, you don't know how to swim. And that preacher's going to drown you. And we didn't have a baptistry. That's beautiful. We had to go to the creek. So about a month or so before, a year before when my mom got saved, and she was Catholic. She's from Massachusetts and got saved. That's another beautiful story. And so they baptized her in the creek. So me and my little friend was standing on the bank while the preacher and my mom was going into the water, and there was a deacon in front of him hitting the water. And I said, what is he hitting the water for? He says, he's running the snakes off. Oh boy, that did it for me. So, and this is the truth. When I was under conviction about getting saved at 9 years old, the devil kept saying, that preacher's going to drown you, and remember those snakes. I'm serious. Every Sunday, I was sweating because I was under conviction. I believe in conviction. And I wasn't going to get saved because of the snakes drowned it. And then finally, I mean this, the Holy Spirit said to me as a little boy, he says, Keith, if you don't listen today, I'll never deal with you again. I'm telling you, I would die. I heard that say in my heart, if you don't listen to me today, I'll never deal with you again. And I grabbed my mom's sleeve. And we was on the back row back there, and I came forward, and Jesus came into my heart when I was 9 years old. But that wasn't the end of the plan. Forgive me, because this means so much to me. At 10 years old, God called me to preach. And all my life, I've known nothing. And I'm only 29 years old now. But God called me to preach at 10. And that's all I've done is served Him. And I pastored a church, started with 4 people, as I said, in Sunday school. And God blessed and changed. And now we're doing evangelism. And so God is good. There was a fellow who was invited to a church like y'all's, and he was so excited. He put his suit on, had his tie, had his Bible, had his outline, got his glasses, and got to the church so excited about preaching and sat down here beside a guy on the front row. And so they sang the good songs like y'all sang, and I love these songs today. And he reached good night. He says, I've brought everything, but I forgot my false teeth. So he reached in his pocket. They weren't there. Reached another pocket. Weren't there. This man saw this commotion going on sitting right beside him. He said, sir, something wrong? He said, yes, I got to preach in a few minutes. I'm the guest here, and I forgot my false teeth, and I can't preach without my teeth. And he said, I just don't know what I'm going to do. He said, don't worry. And the man beside him reached in his pocket, and he said, here. He said, try these on. And so the guest preacher put them in his mouth. He said, oh, no, these are just too tight. I don't want to be able to preach with these. And he spit them out, and he says, what am I going to do? He said, you're all right. It's okay. So he reached in his other pocket, and he pulled out another set of teeth, and he said, try these on. So he put them in. They were all, these are too loose. I'll spit these out in the very first 3 years. He said, these are just too loose. So he spit those out, and they was introducing him to come up to the platform like you did, Brother Jimmy. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, what am I going to do? And the man said, it's all right. So he reached in his top pocket, and he pulled out a third set of teeth. He handed it to him. He put them in his mouth. They were just perfect. They felt perfect. He says, oh, thank God. He looked at me. He said, oh, thank God. He says, I sat down beside a dentist today. He says, oh, no, sir. He says, I'm an undertaker. So I want to tell you 2 things today. Number one, I know that I'm saved, and these are my teeth. Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I'm going to preach this morning on this subject, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 is where we're going to start. The God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Grace be unto you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Underline those words. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, the God of all comfort. Jesus, you've been in this service. The music was tremendous. These people are precious. And oh God, I want you to use me again now. I don't want them to think I preach good. I want them to be able to say what a great God Keith has. Lord, I ask you right now, please use me. I want this to be the message. I've prayed. And I want this to be the message that it would be. If you were here instead of me, this is what you'd say. And I want you to use me now. Lord, somebody needs this. I need it. Somebody needs this. So, Lord, help me. And like I said in Sunday school, they don't know Debbie Sue and I. So I ask you, Father, melt our hearts together. We only got today. And I pray, Father, that it would be just something that would bind us together in your spirit. That because we've been in this service here, that we can say, wow, this has been a very special Sunday. Because there was a sweet, sweet spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. As you can already tell, I think you can, I'm a very positive person. I'm always happy. I'm always cutting up. I'm never down. Even when things don't go good, I have to kind of put it in a little Tupperware and say, all right, Lord, I give this to you. And I'm cutting up. I'm always ready to cut up all the time. Matter of fact, I like cutting up so much that at night I'll wake up, tell myself a joke and laugh and go back to sleep. That's how much of a fun. I love having a good time. I really do. That's my nature. But I'm going to be honest with y'all today. I'm very concerned. Like never before in my 64 years, we are in some very troublesome times. Like never before. There's an old song we used to sing that I'll be honest with you, seems like it ought to be sung today. Seems like it ought to be written for today. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear is now is at stake. That seems like a song we ought to be singing now. Because we're in some very difficult times. Let's be honest, we're dealing with a virus that we don't know anything about. It's taking people's lives, it's making them sick. We don't know how long it's going to last and how many more it's going to affect. We just don't know. There's the rioting in the streets. Buildings are being burned. Gangs are taking over our country. People are being hurt. People are being threatened. Decent people are the ones being persecuted instead of the people who ought to go to jail. Just telling it like it is, y'all. Child abductions like you've never seen. A baby's aborted. People think nothing of it. There's human trafficking like you could not imagine. Opioid abuse is higher than it's ever been. Suicide and depression is higher than it's ever been. We see the forest fires and the tornadoes and the hurricanes. We're seeing missing children and the children being abused. I don't know if you even heard the story, but just this past week, I cried. There was a girl had her baby and her boyfriend was in the car and the little four-year-old was in the back singing like a little child. He told the kid to shut up. Did y'all hear the story? Told him to shut up and then got tired of it, pulled off the side of the road, put the kiddo out of the car. A little child, his girlfriend's child, put the child out, child wandered in the road and got hit by a car and killed. That's pure sorry. We don't need to take him to court. We need to bring him in this church and we'll deal with him. Amen. I'm saying this morning we got all the child abuse and then you hear about women being taken and in a few days they're found, their bodies are found and children's babies found. Now we're dealing like never before with socialism and atheism. And now people want to say when they do the pledge of one nation under God, leave that out. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in some very bad times. Very bad times. Troublesome times. But I come to New Hope Baptist Church with new hope. I come with the answer today. And our verses explain them. Let me give them to you. The God of Father of Jesus gives us mercy. God the Father of Jesus gives us mercy. Thank God for mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. You know, we're down in the Birmingham area. Debbie Sue and I hear all the time people saying, I have my rights. Let me tell you, you know what our rights are? Hell. That's what we all deserve. We all deserve hell. But thank God, the Bible says, God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us mercy. Then the Bible goes on to say that all comfort comes from Him. You don't get comfort anywhere else except from the Lord. And He comforts us in all of our trouble. In this world of trouble that we're dealing with today, y'all, we have the Lord. He's the God of our comfort in these troublesome times. Then it even goes on to talk about that when we've gone through the trouble we've been through, there's somebody else down the road we can help them in their trouble. Maybe this morning we could go through the auditorium and every one of y'all could tell a story of something you've been through. And we ask the question, Lord, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my family? Why did this happen to my child? Can I be honest with you? I don't know the answer to that. But there's something that I do know the answer to. Write this down in your heart. When you go through something, there's a reason for that, because there's going to be somebody down the road you're going to be able to help. So mark that down, that whatever, if it's going through cancer or a heart attack or a wayward child or something happens and you say, Dear God, why? I promise you, there's going to be somebody down the road that you're going to be able to help. There was a little fellow who was 8 years old, was up in a tree, and he fell. And in the fall, it mangled his arm and they had to cut his arm off. And he laid in the hospital and he did not respond to his mom and dad. He didn't respond to the nurse or the doctor. All he did was he stayed in the fetal position, wouldn't eat, wouldn't drink, facing the blank wall. And when anybody would try to see him, he'd say, just leave me alone. He was in denial because he lost his alarm. He laid in that hospital for days. Finally, there was another little voice, 12-year-old, knocked at his door, says, can I come and see you? He says, I don't want to be bothered. He said, yeah, I think you'd like for me to visit you. And the little boy, for the first time, rolled away from the wall, looked at him, and there was that 12-year-old boy, and both of his arms were gone. Both. And the little boy come out of his shell, and everything changed. See, it took somebody who'd already been through the storm to do for him what nobody else could do, including parents and doctors. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you go through, don't get mad at God. Say, Lord, this hurts. I don't understand it. But the preacher said to me that Sunday in December that there's going to be somebody down the road that I can help. Mark that down. That's a great truth. And don't ever, ever, ever forget that. But let me tell you what we tend to do in trouble. We tend to want to be comfortable instead of claiming comfort. So the easiest thing is to get comfortable, but we don't get the comfort inside that we need. Can I tell y'all something? Can I make a confession? I did. I saw the commercial on TV, and I said, you know, I need them because I don't sleep good at night. And I bought two of those My Pillows. I did. And can I tell y'all the truth? They're good. I'm preaching now. Amen. Glory to God. I'm preaching now. Those are good. Now, you know what? I'll lay on that and sleep, and they're comfortable, but not one time has it done anything inside. They're comfortable, but I don't have the comfort inside. This is a beautiful, the temperature's good. This is a comfortable auditorium. Look at the scripture on the wall, the light. This is comfortable, but this doesn't give you comfort. And sometimes we tend to want to be comfortable instead of saying, Lord, I need your comfort. So what do you and I do? Now, I want you to get this. This is life-changing today for me first. In these troublesome times, where do we find our comfort? And I want you to write these down. Number one, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. John 14:16. Jesus looked at his disciples, that verse, and he says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. What does that mean? When Jesus was with his disciples those 3.5 years, he was a comforter to them. But now, don't, listen, he's God. Jesus is God. But he was standing here. Peter was over there. He was standing here. John was over there. He was standing here. Thomas was over there. You get what I'm saying? He was not inside of them. He gave them comfort, and it was good because he's God. But let me tell you something better. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another. Say another. You know what that? He said, I'm going to send the Spirit, and he's going to live inside of you. So that's even better than Jesus being here, because it's still the same thing. Right? The Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a him. Number two, the Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is. And when you and I are going through storms, we talked about this in Sunday school, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That when the world is coming apart, it is well with our soul. Because we have the Holy Spirit to give us comfort inside of us. Joseph Skibben was a godly young man. And he met a young lady and fell in love and put all their wedding together. And the night before the wedding, she was in her little horse carriage in the 1800s, and something spooked the horse by this little stream of water, and it threw her out head first. She hit her head on a rock in the stream, and the next morning she was found dead, the day of her wedding day. Joseph Skibben just went into a deep, dark depression. God, why? He believed God, got over it. A few years passed. Still being a young man, he met another young lady. They fell in love, planned a wedding. True story. And just a few months before their wedding day, she got gravely ill, and she too died. Joseph Skibben went into the darkest depression. And he said, God, why? Do I not deserve to have a wife? And both of them have died before we ever got to the wedding altar. And he went into the darkest depression, but he went and he sought the Lord with all of his heart. And he got a piece of paper and he began to write, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in some troublesome times, but I come with good new hope. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. When this world is quaking trying to decide who the president is, I don't know who I know who I want to be the president. Amen. I don't know who the president is. But I know who the king is. And these troublesome times, and they are bad. Debbie and I are going through things with our family physically right now. Right now. But there is an anchor inside of us. And it's the Holy Spirit with promise. In these troublesome times, number one, write it down, you have the Holy Spirit. Number two, it's good stuff. Not me, it's him, it's the Lord. His merciful kindness is our comfort. Psalm 119, verse 76. His merciful kindness. The world's not kind. They put on a fake smile. But if you're trying to get the same can of green beans at Walmart they are, they'll fight you for them. I mean, this world is not kind. They'll be, not, hey, how are you? You ever try to get the same buggy at Walmart? That could be a funeral in your future. They're mean. It's not a kind world. But let me tell you something. The Lord always shows kindness. Listen to me, y'all. In this troublesome time, there's never a day that our God has a bad mood. Woo! Let me tell you, I woke up this morning and the Lord just wasn't kind at all. Never! He's kind every day, the Bible says. He never gets in a bad mood. He doesn't get himself, I think I'm just going to make it rain on their parade. He's always kind. He's always there caring for you. Not only that, he's not always coming. He's always giving mercy. There's never a day that you're going back to hell again. You remember when I said, Hall of John 3:16 or October 3rd, 1965? You never wake up again and look at something and say, you know what? God's grace is gone. He keeps on giving it to you. In these troublesome times, you'll never lose His grace. You'll never lose His mercy. A few months ago now, I met a woman and her husband, and their last name was Grace. And he had a traffic violation. It wasn't nothing big, but something he wanted to protest, so he went before the judge. And the judge was looking at the paperwork, and I didn't know them. They were telling me the story. And the judge looked to the top of his glasses. He said, "I guess you're wanting what your last name is, Grace, right?" He said, "No, sir, I'm wanting mercy." He said, "I don't want grace." Let me tell you, y'all, we get His mercy. In this world that everything and everybody's out to get everybody, you can't trust anybody, it's a terrible world, I'm here to give you great news. His kindness never ceases. His mercy never ceases. When everybody's on their own, you and I have both of those coming from God in our favor all the time. David Sue's sister, Trixie, that's her nickname. Her real name is Patricia. Well, I like that name, Trixie. That's Southern, don't you think? And she wanted a dog, so we found a rescue dog. And her name is Dixie. Hold on, I got to put my hand on my heart when I say Dixie. So y'all just give me a little minute of respect. But they named her Dixie. And when we went to pick her up in North Alabama, the lady said she was a very much abused dog. And they asked the question, what happened? Said, well, she was just walking down the side of the road. Little pit bull mix, sort of cute. Looked like a cow in the face, sort of. And said, that man just picked her up and brought her here, and she just been there by herself. Just said, don't even ask any questions, just terribly abused. We had to do surgeries and everything. Well, Debbie and Trixie said, that's the one we want. Took Dixie, but gave her that name. Got her to the house, and man, it was a brand new world for her. Going from being abused and everything, now she's got the home that she runs the house, like y'all's dog, like y'all's little buddy. Runs the thing. And every once in a while, Dixie will not do right. And Trixie will say, Dixie, don't do that. And immediately you can see her put her head down and she'll get low. And it's as if she can remember in her past how she was abused. And it's like she's going back. It's starting all over again. And then Trixie will say, it's okay, Dixie. And that little tail will just wag knowing it's all right. Every once in a while, something will happen in our life and we'll think, oh man, it's back to the old bad stuff again. But then the Lord says, it's okay. And can I say it this way? We can wag our tail. Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this world that we're living in, it's like the devil out there. But the Lord is whispering to every one of us, and whatever you're going through, it's all right. I'm with you. I give you mercy. I give you my kindness. Can I just say it this way? Ladies and gentlemen, we're on top of the world today because of Jesus. They may be out there fretting, but you and I in this building can be thoroughly happy because we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and no weapon formed against you or me will prosper. And last but not least, that's the best part of a sermon when the preacher said this is the last one, isn't it? What is our comfort? Last but not least, and I love this, Jesus coming back is our comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 tells about it. Can I say it this way? Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. Amen. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll nevermore wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Can I say it like the old black preacher? This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do I have a witness in the house? Y'all, we're just pilgrims passing through. This isn't home. Can I say it this way? This ain't home. That sounds better, don't it? This ain't home. We just kind of staying here for a while, but you and I are going to be eternally with Jesus. And He said, comfort one another with these words. He said over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, write that verse down. He said, in the last days there will be perilous times. Write down the word perilous. You know what the word perilous means? The word perilous means full of danger and risk. unsure, unsafe times. Wow. That sounds like today. Ladies and gentlemen, He's coming. On a normal day just like today, we're just doing our normal thing, maybe milking goats. Amen. You're just going to go down to the Dollar General. Debbie Sue's favorite place is the Dollar General. She doesn't like Walmart. She thinks the Antichrist started the Walmart. She loves the Dollar General. Just on a normal day like today, He's coming back. The trump's going to sound, the shout's going to come, the dead in Christ is going to rise up, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what our comfort is? This isn't the end for us. This isn't even the beginning for us. This is just a passing through for us. The beginning is still ahead of us. Y'all believe that? Somebody say amen. Charles Weigel was a great evangelist. And he traveled everywhere preaching, singing, playing the piano. And he came home one day from one of his two-long meetings. And when he walked in, he hollered for his wife and his little girl, his only child, and no answer. And on the kitchen table was a little note from his wife. He said, "Charles, I can't take this life anymore. I've taken our only little daughter. And we've gone, we're left, we're out of this life. We don't want to do it anymore." And he sat down at that kitchen table and he closed his eyes and he said, "Dear God, I've given my life to You. And now my wife and only child is gone. What am I going to do?" Well, he persisted and kept preaching, being faithful to the Lord as all of us should do. And he got old, got older. I hate to use the word old because I feel the feeling. He got older and he went up to Chattanooga. He had a meeting with Dr. Lee Robertson. And he said, "Dr. Robertson, I'm getting old now and I just don't want to travel anymore. Can I do something?" He said, "Can I come here to Tennessee Temple and just preach to the students, teach the preacher boys, and can I, you know, just sing and be around them and just be with young life and just spend the rest of my life here?" And Dr. Robertson said, "Sure, you can be here." And he said, "Dr. Robertson, would you do something for me? Would you pray? Forgive me, I'm an emotional type, as you can tell. I get touched." He said, "Would you pray that God will give me 10 more years to just be used of God?" And Dr. Robinson said, "Yes." And he put both his hands on Dr. Charles Weigel's hands and he said, "Lord, give Dr. Weigel 10 more years." And he thanked Dr. Robertson for that. He began his ministry in the college there in the Tennessee Temple. And he just got to seeing how bad the world was several years ago. And his heart just broke thinking about everything that had happened in his life and the way he was seeing the world go. And he went back to Dr. Robertson. "Dr. Robertson, can I see?" He said, "Sure." He said, "Dr. Robertson, would you change that prayer for me?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I don't want to live 10 more years. I want to go on home." And Dr. Robertson put his hand in his two hands. And he prayed that that prayer be released. And in just a short time, Dr. Charles Weigel went to heaven. Who's Charles Weigel? He's the one that wrote the song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. Oh, how much He cares for you and me." You know, I'm 64. And I think we got a long time left. But as I see the world and some things that our kids are going through physically, and then when I told you, Brother Jimmy, the way I see churches are just coming apart. They just don't stand for nothing. And I see the world and the violence. I just want to go on home. I just would like to go on home. And all of us go together. Let them fight it out in Washington, D.C. I don't care. Because Washington is not my capital. The New Jerusalem down the road is going to be my capital. So where's our comfort? The Holy Spirit. Where's our comfort? His merciful kindness. Where's our comfort? Jesus is coming soon. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Do you mind if us just having, with no singing, just a piano play? Brother Jim, I want you to come, Brother Jimmy, stand here at the front. Please be by me. Be by me, brother. Just pray whatever you feel is appropriate with our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, is there somebody who would say, "Dear Lord, I'm going through some things in my life. Man, I've just faced some things, and today, Lord, you've touched my heart. I'm claiming your comfort." With our heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, I needed what you said to my heart today, and I claim that comfort. Is there anybody that way? Put your hand up. Lord, I needed something. I heard all of us, me too. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, just talk to the Lord about it. Say, "Lord, I claim that comfort." Who will say, "Lord, I realize we are in some very unsafe, unsure times, but I realize it's okay because I'm a child of the King. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Lord, I realize it's not going to be the donkey that saves me. It's not going to be the elephant that saves me. It's going to be the Lamb that saves me. And Lord, today I claim that. No more fear. It's all right." How many of you in this auditorium today that you can remember a day you got saved? Not maybe, not might, not perhaps, not signing a card, not getting sprinkled or baptized, but you can remember a day the Lord dealt with you and you asked Him to save you. As a testimony to the Lord for all of us, if you remember that day, would you put your hand up high as a praise? "I remember that day. I know when I got saved." Would you just lift up to the Lord? You're praising Him. Great. Thank you. You can put your hand down. I would never embarrass you. I would never embarrass you. But with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you could not raise your hand, how terrible it would be for the Lord to come back and you're left in all this mess. Today is the day of salvation. I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer, and I don't want you to pray it out loud, and you're sure not praying it to me. You're praying it to the Lord. And I want you right now with our heads bowed and eyes closed to pray. Make sure you're saved, because when Jesus comes back, if you're not saved, you're left behind. So I want you to pray right now. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus." Yeah, come on, to yourself. Let's start all over again. "Dear Lord Jesus, I need to be saved. I don't know that I'm saved right now. Come into my heart. Save me from my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood for me. I know you rose from the dead to save me now. Come into my heart and save me. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and saving my soul. I'm not going to embarrass you. I give you my word. I just want to rejoice with you." If you just prayed that prayer, when nobody looking around, can I rejoice with you? Will you just slip your hand up saying, "I prayed that prayer with you, Brother Keith. I did. I just want to rejoice with you." Anybody at all in the house, I did pray that. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? I prayed with you. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody else? All right, I want us to do this. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. If the Lord touched you in any way in this service, I want you to come to the altar and just talk to the Lord and go out of here with a new vision. If you asked Jesus to save you or you didn't, I want Brother Jimmy to stand here at the front and receive you. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come say, "I prayed that prayer with you," and He'll take it from there. But I'm not going to make you say a word, not going to make you put you on the spot. But whatever it is, let's stand right now and come running to this altar and pray about whatever's on your heart. Stand with me right now with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. And if you prayed that prayer with me, two or three of you, come on right now. Brother Jimmy, if you would meet folks at the front, come on right now, please. Piano's playing. The invitation is yours. The message was of the Lord's. The invitation's yours. Come right now. Come on. You ask Jesus to save you, you come. You want to join this church, you come. You have a burden that you need to pray over, come on down to this altar. I'm one of those that believe in old-fashioned altars. Come on. Come on right now. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Please come. Claim the comfort in troublesome times. Come on right now. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Come on. We all have heavy burdens. Cut up during Sunday school, cut up during the service, but in my mind, where Debbie Sue and I are praying about things just like y'all are. But we realize the Lord is always there. His mercies, they fail not. Please come. Please come.